Translation. Some time ago, being inquisitive to know, Sanat Kumara, the chief of the boy saints, accompanied by other great sages, inquired exactly like you about the truths regarding Vasudev, the Supreme, from Lord Shankarshan, who is seated at the bottom of the universe. Purport. This is in clarification of the statement that the Lord spoke directly on the Srimad Bhagavatam. When and unto whom the Bhagavatam was spoken is explained herewith. Questions similar to those put forward by Vidura were asked by great sages like Sanat Kumara and Lord Shankarshan. The plenary expansion of the Supreme Lord Vasudev answered them. Om Gyante Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Un Militham Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I'll just read the first two verses. The great Maitreya Muni said to Vidura, "The royal dynasty of King Puru is worthy to serve the pure devotees because all the descendants of the family are devoted to the personality of Godhead. You are also born in that family, and it is wonderful that because of your attempt, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are becoming newer and newer at every moment." Verse 2, "Let me now begin speaking on the Bhagavad Puran, which was directly spoken to the great sages by the personality of Godhead for the benefit of those who are entangled in extreme miseries for the sake of very little pleasure. Some time ago, being inquisitive to know, Sanat Kumar, the chief of the boy saints, accompanied by the other great sages, inquired exactly like you about the truths regarding Vasudev, the Supreme from Lord Shankarshan, who is seated at the bottom of the universe." So in the previous chapter, Vidura, he asked many questions about creation, destruction, and so now Maitreya will begin to start speaking the Bhagavatam. In the second canto, creation has already been discussed. These topics have already been discussed. So now Maitreya will speak on it according to his realization. So I was thinking about this. Why do things need to be repeated? You know, it's already been discussed. Because when I was reading the Bhagavatam many years ago, I was thinking, you know, I've already read this. Why am I reading this again for? You know, let's get on to the next topic. But, you know, like repetition of points is important in Krishna consciousness, you know. If you look at the history of the Bhagavatam, it's explained that the original four verses, the Chatushloki verses, were spoken by Lord Krishna to Lord Brahma. And those four verses introduces the concept of achintya, of Krishna, everything should be connected to Krishna. And from those, then Lord Brahma, he meditated on those verses. And in his maturity, he spoke 133 verses to Narada Muni. And then Narada spoke the entirety to Vyasadeva. And now we have the Bhagavatam. So what it means is that in their spiritual maturity, with their realization, they elaborated and repeated the words of their predecessor. Now you may say, well, why didn't Krishna say the original? Why did he just speak four verses? Why not speak everything? Well, because in those four verses, everything's already included. Jiva Goswami explains that on planet Earth, when Vyasadeva compiled the Puranas, the Itihasas, which deal with the personality of Godhead's pastimes, he took 400,000 verses out of 1 billion verses. So that means on the higher planetary system, there is 1 billion verses, and Vyasadeva took out 400,000 verses, and he put it down into scripture. You know, we have the 18 Puranas, we have the Upa Puranas, we have the Itihasas, like Mahabharata and Ramayana. So 400,000 verses, and even for us, that's a lot, you know? And it's explained that, you know, there's some scriptures that are lost due to time. And we hear that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to the Adi Keshava temple, he found a chapter of the Kurva Puran, and he also found a chapter of the Brahma Samhita. So there's many scriptures, many verses we don't have. Madhvacharya also explains that the Mahabharata is a corrupt text. So, you know, so there's so much we don't have, but because we have the essence, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, so we have everything. So we're not really missing anything. So this point is very important that, you know, spiritual knowledge is not a process of just reading, memorizing. It's a process of when you receive that knowledge, is to apply that knowledge, and from that, to contemplate that knowledge. And from that comes realization, it comes vijnana. And then you can elaborate on these principles. You can speak according to your realization. Because, you know, Vyasa is just, he doesn't make up the pastime. They're already existing. He just edits them. He puts them into written format according to the time, place, and circumstance. You know, he writes it in his spiritual maturity, as explained, Prabhupada explains. So Prabhupada, when he came to the West, before he came to the West, he meditated on how he can translate this message of Krishna consciousness to the people of the world. You know, and Prabhupada said it was a life, you know, Swatsarupa Maharaj, he says in Prabhupada Lila Amrita, it was a lifetime in preparation. So Prabhupada meditated, he contemplated, he strategized, and with that, his spiritual realization, he came and preached the Bhagavatam. He preached Krishna consciousness. I was thinking about how, you know, the Krishna book, which is like the summary of the 10th canto, you know, Prabhupada, you know, and you know, we know that we can't go straight to the 10th canto because we have to qualify ourselves by going from the first canto to the second canto up to the 10th canto. So we build tattva, we build knowledge of Krishna, you know, we become purified. Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book, and he said, just distribute it, you know. And that deals with, like, you know, the pastimes of Krishna of the gopis, you know, so many esoteric topics. But Prabhupada, he wrote it in such a way that the average person would not become disturbed by it. If anything, he'll become purified, he'll become qualified. So that takes spiritual realization, spiritual empowerment. So that's why when the great personality is like Vidura, when he is inquiring from Maitreya Muni, and Maitreya Muni is giving his realization, you're adding a flavor to it, you're adding a different, wouldn't say so much approach, but you're making it more sweeter, you know? So this is really important. So, because if you read the Bhagavatam, there's many personalities, they're saying this person said this, this person said that, you know, it starts of, and you know, it starts, it's, you kind of think, okay, who's the actual person speaking it? But we should think that these people are adding their flavor, they're adding their love, their devotion to it. So that's really important. Now, interesting, it's very important here also that, you know, Vidura is described as someone who is inquisitive to know. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse 34, it is said, Tad vidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadek shanti te jnanam jnanenas tattva darshina. What does pranipat mean? You know what pranipat means? What does it mean?
To follow.
It means to follow strictly, submissive. You know, what else is Krishna? He gives another condition. He says, Pranipatena Pari Prashnena. What does Pari Prashnena mean? Ask questions. And what's the other one? Sevaya, service. So you submit, you render service, and then you inquire. Now, without these three elements, you won't be able to approach spiritual master. Now, even more important than that is humility. Because humility is described as the first item in the devotional service. It's explained that, you know, I can't remember the full list, but it says the humility comes first. And what does humility actually mean? Humility means that, you know, Prabhupada gives different definitions, but there's one interesting conversation. I'm just going to paraphrase it because I don't remember the exact word for word. So Prabhupada said that, you know, because this person was asking Prabhupada, you know, what does humility mean? And he thought Prabhupada's going to give a very, like, you know, the type of answer you get in the West, you know, you're someone who's very meek, very humble, very, very meek, weak, you know, very, you know, you just, you let people get away with whatever, you know? Because he thought that's what humility meant. And Prabhupada said, no. Prabhupada said, humility means that nothing in the world can save you, can help you, unless you surrender to Krishna. I said, you have to be aggressive about this, that only Krishna can save you, only Krishna can help you, only Krishna is your goal. And the person who heard it, I forgot his name, but he was saying that he realized that to become humble is not an easy thing. It's something you have to really want to do. You have to really go against the forces of Maya and to realize that only Krishna is my Lord and Master. You know, he's the only person that can save me. You know, it's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, it talks about the six symptoms. It talks about, you know, someone who has the Shraddha. He talks about, you know, it says that pure faith. He talks about pure faith. He says pure faith is someone who says, just by rendering devotional service, all my needs will be looked after by Krishna, you know? And that's like a very basic definition of a devotee. And that's what means to be someone who's humble, who just has, you know, this resolute faith that no matter what happens, only I will always be surrendered to Krishna, only Krishna can help me, only Krishna can save me. Then when you have that, then you can surrender to the spiritual master. Without humility, you cannot do it. Humility means, you know, you have this faith, no matter what happens, only Krishna can save me. Krishna may save me on the material platform, he may save me on the mental platform, but ultimately he will always save me on the spiritual platform, because real protection is on the spiritual platform. And if you look at the prayers of Kunti Devi, Prahlad Maharaj, all the great acharyas, they always pray to save their bhakti. So going back to the point, that this point of inquisitive, inquiring from the spiritual master. Now if you look at Vidura is a very qualified person. He was a well-wisher of the Pandavas, he was a devotee of Krishna. You know, he was the only one who really defended Draupadi when Dushasan brought her into the assembly to strip her naked. You know, he was always counseling his brother. So, you know, sometimes, and remember, Dhritarashtra is his older brother, and he was having very strong conversations with him, you know, because, you know, with brothers you can do that. Saying to him, you know, what you're doing is wrong, you know, your son is evil, you know, put him into jail, execute him. You know, and he was always looking out for his brother. And even at the end, you know, and he was always with the side of the Pandavas. And when his nephew, Duryodhana, insulted him, he just left. He resigned his position, left, and he went on this yatra. And then, you know, he came into, you know, he was speaking to Uddhava, and Uddhava directed him towards Maitreya Muni. Because, you know, even though Uddhava was a much more spiritually advanced person, he was on the level of the Vrajavasis, he said, you know, due to etiquette, social etiquette, you should go to Maitreya. And Maitreya was also present when Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. So this inquisitive, you know, like Krishna says in the Gita, there's four types of people who come to him. You know, there's the person in search of, he's distressed, someone who's in search of knowledge, someone who is in search of wealth, and someone who is looking for vigyan, he's looking for realization. And Krishna says the person looking for knowledge and realization is the best. So this is who he's describing Vidura. He is someone who's very inquisitive to know. It's like a matter of life and death. You know, generally, you know, we see in the world, people become very inquisitive about spiritual life when they're old, you know, like especially in the Indian tradition, they say, you know, because the Indians are very karma, they really much believe in the concept of karma yoga. Well, not so much yoga, but just more being like, you know, where we want to do our dharma, we want to do our job, and at the end of life, when we retire, we'll become spiritual, right? We'll become inquisitive. So you see all these Indian people, they go to these kathas and saptas, they sit down and listen to these pastimes. But, you know, but this should be going on from the beginning of life. Because because this is ideas that, you know, spiritual is just chanting or reading or, you know, doing deity worship, but spiritual means engaging your work in Krishna service. That's why Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita. He says to Arjuna, Mamanusmara Yudhyacha, think of me and fight. So at the beginning, people should be trained how to engage their activities in Krishna service, so you make spiritual advancement. And then that will also have a knock-on effect on knowing more about Krishna. Because if you love someone, you want to know more about them, right? You want to read more about Krishna's pastimes. You want to know more about Krishna's glories. Because that's what it means. Because that's the meaning of loving someone. You don't want to have like this basic, superficial understanding of Krishna. So, you know, and so then, you know, the other example is giving of Sanat Kumara, you know, one of the four brothers, saints, and he went to Shankarshan, he went to Garbhadakshay Vishnu. So we see this like, you know, if you read, if in the Bhagavatam is explained, you know, like, you know, there's the, when Shukadev Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam and Sutadev Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam, it's explained that the people in the audience, they weren't all devotees. They, especially for Shukadev Goswami, they explained that the people came from all over the universe. They were great, they were not just mixed devotees, but they were also gyanis, they were also yogis. They were also, you know, impersonalists. There were people from all the different spectrum. But, and you know, and especially when Sutta Goswami spoke, that was very much so the case. And it's explained, those people, they did like 1,000 years of sacrifice. But then they came to the realization that this cannot satisfy us. So what did they do? They approached Sutta Goswami, who was the most qualified person there. They followed the principles of chapter 4, verse 34, the Tadvidhi verse. You know, and they inquired submissively to Sutta Goswami. Because, you know, and you know, we can say, well, they're not devotees, but, you know, but they came to that realization that, you know, I can try to do my best to get through in this material world, but it will never satisfy me. Only by approaching Krishna, hearing about Krishna can satisfy me. And the thing is, we cannot go directly to Krishna, because Krishna says in the Padma Puran, those who are my devotees are not my devotees. Those who are devotees of my devotee are my devotees. So you can't go directly to Krishna. You know, you have to go through the spiritual master. That's why the disciplic succession is there. And it's not that you're losing anything by going through a intermediate person. That intermediate person, you know, we read, you know, we sing Guru Puja to Prabhupada in the morning. If you study those prayers, if you study the six Shastakam prayers, the Guru Vashtakam prayers, you see that the spiritual master is a very intimate associate of Krishna. He's fully conversant with the truths of Krishna. It doesn't matter what his background is, what his ethnicity is, what his, you know, mature education is. The fact that he knows Krishna Tattva, he can give you Krishna. It says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that, you know, the jiva is wandering throughout the universe. You know, he's going here and there. By the mercy of Krishna, he comes in contact with the spiritual master. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets Krishna. So the spiritual to find a spiritual master, to be initiated, he initiates you with transcendental knowledge, with Divya Gyan. It's such a rare thing. You know, it's like Krishna says in the Gita, he says that, you know, he talks about how someone coming into contact with Krishna consciousness, it becomes a Mahatma. It's so rare. Someone who realizes Krishna is the goal of life. Someone who surrenders to Krishna. It's such a rare thing. I was thinking of the like pastime. There's many pastime of this great devotee, and he lived in Gujarat like about 250 years ago. His name was Narasimha Mehta, and he used to like live by this principle of the Gita that Krishna will preserve what I have and he will carry what I lack. And, you know, he was like a very simple Brahmana. He didn't have much money. And, you know, he was always getting into arguments. His wife, his family were very frustrated with him. And he basically, you know, his wife said to him, you know, look, we need to get our daughters married. You need to go and get some money for your Brahmanic activities. So he went to some village. And then there was a katha going on, this sapta about, you know, hearing Krishna's pastime. So he just sat down. And these kathas can go on for like days on end. So then he completely absorbed himself in that, and he forgot about why he went to that place in the first place, to get money to get his daughter married. So anyway, after a few days, he realized, oh my God, I have to get back. So he started rushing to the village, and basically he saw all these people coming out wearing nice clothes, and they were raving about this amazing opulent wedding. You know, they were like, this is the best wedding I've ever been to. It was the king of a wedding. And he's thinking, who lives in this village? Who has this type of money? So anyway, he got to his house, and then he saw all his house decorated, and he saw his wife, and he saw his family members, and he was like, what happened? How did the wedding go ahead? And they were like, we don't know what happened to you, but somehow we got money to get our daughter married. And then he realized that, you know, Krishna had arranged this for them. You know, he had that faith that, you know, he lived by that principle that Krishna will always preserve what you have and carry what you lack. So this type of faith, this type of shraddha is so much needed. You know, like Prabhupada, he comes to the West. Like I was reading in Lilamrita, I still get mesmerized by it. Like Prabhupada was, he was traveling in the train at late night, and they stopped, I think it was at Delhi train station. And he said to his followers, I think it was Gurudas, and I think at the time Bhanu Swami, he said to them, get off at the train and start a temple. Now imagine, late night, getting off at a train station and we live in India. You don't even know the country. Forget, you don't even know the language. You have no money, nowhere to go, nowhere to sleep, nowhere to whatever. Having that much faith in the spiritual master in Krishna, they just got off and they started a temple. You know, it's pretty far out, you know, like, and you read about, and the austerity, and you read about devotees when they went to different countries. Like, you know, I was reading Salted Bread many years ago, and he was talking about what the devotees, the Russian devotees, went through, to the austerities, the dangers to their life to distribute books. You know, but they had so much faith. It's like, it's explained that though they didn't have a professional printing, a publishing machine. So what they used to do is to photocopy, they should translate Prabhupada's books into Russian, very, you know, very unedited, and they would photocopy it and they would bind it together. And sometimes the pages were missing, sometimes the pages were upside down, sometimes words were missing, sometimes you couldn't see anything. And they would distribute those pamphlets, those makeshift books. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Jashishi Chitara Lakshmana Manji Ki Jai. So they would distribute those pamphlets and books, and people would become devotees. They had so much faith. So this is, you know, so this is what we need. This is what we need to progress in Krishna consciousness. And how do we get that? We get that by associating with like-minded devotees, by reading Prabhupada's books, studying Prabhupada's life, you know, following the principles that Prabhupada gave us. You know, like now we're in the middle of the marathon, the book distribution marathon. You know, just going out and trying to distribute at least one book a day we can all do. You know, and that's connecting to what Prabhupada wanted, you know. So, and that keeps us in line with the blessings and of Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. And then when we read these transcendental literature, it will be able to penetrate us. We'll become inquisitive, more inquisitive. We'll want to know more about Krishna. But more important, we'll be able to apply this knowledge to our lives and become purified by that knowledge. Okay, so I'll stop here. If anyone has any comments or questions. Taibo.
Thank you for your class. You were quoting the verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4,
verse 54. Yeah.
I was wondering if there's any significance that Krishna mentions Pranipat before Hare Krishna and Sevaya. You mentioned submission before questioning and serving. So is that generally the order that we should go in, that we should first submit and then?
Pranipat, I mean, because obviously, you know, you can't translate Sanskrit into English properly, you know. Pranipat basically means you've got to do this, you've got to submit, you've got to surrender. Because spiritual life starts, you know, ultimately with surrender. Imagine, you know, like, you know, you're going up to someone, you haven't done no service, you haven't surrendered, you start asking him questions. And you know, it's not the proper system. There has to be a certain type of etiquette where a type of realization that, yeah, I'm going to this person because this person is the person that can help me connect to Krishna. So I'm going to surrender to this person. I'm going to submit to this person. And then when you submit, then you can render service. And when you render service, you please him, then you can ask questions. You can't just ask someone just right like that. Where's, you know, like, it's like going to the shop, like going to a car showroom, say, I'm just going to take the car. You know, I'm not going to give you money for it. You know, it's a bit like that. It's not the proper transaction. So you have to submit. It's such an important thing. Surrendering, it's like if you read like the pastimes of acharyas, how they basically pestered their spiritual master, said, look, I'm going to surrender to you. If not, I'm going to give up my life. It's such a matter of urgency for them because they know it's so rare to get a spiritual master. It's so rare to come into Krishna's family. And this person is that person. So you must submit. And it has to be this, it's a matter of life and death. So yes, it has to come first. Haribo.
Can I add something?
Bolo? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay. Ask the question about Pranipat. So I've heard that Pranipat is becoming humble, yeah? But there is a story when there was some guest who came to the temple at Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's temple in West Bengal.
Yeah.
And they had some queries, yeah, about the esoteric topics. So they asked their secretary, Prabhupada, that one, to have a meeting with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and he saw who had come. They were like very elite people who wanted to ask some questions. But they were puffed up with their own upbringing, knowledge, pride. These are the four things which can keep you away from Krishna. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked his secretary to tell them first to go to the deity room and wash the pots.
That's right.
Then they washed the pots. After 1 hour, they didn't have any questions in their mind.
Yeah.
And the secretary asked them, what is the question? Now, Srila Prabhupada, that time they used to tell him,
yeah,
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is ready to meet you. So he said, no, we don't have any questions left now. Now it's all over and we want to go now. So they were given prasadam and that's it.
Yeah, so
Hari Bol.
Is that verse 7, Mukhehi Jivado? So he says, by devotional service, one can understand. That person was the vice chancellor of Calcutta University. Yeah, that's a famous pastime. I was thinking of another pastime, actually. It was just showing the opposite when someone comes with the wrong. So Prabhupada met this Hindu academic or scholar, you know, some philosopher. He came to see Prabhupada, you know, like as you do when you see a sadhu. And he said to Prabhupada, you know, he didn't do the process of Tadvidhi. He just said, so what does Hinduism mean? What's the essence? So Prabhupada said, Krishna quoted the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parichaja, Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo, Mokshayi Shami Masuchaha. Just surrender to Krishna, don't fear. And then he said, what does surrender mean, this Indian man? So this man's an Indian, he's a Sanskritist, he's a scholar. So Prabhupada said, we'll bring this man a dictionary if he doesn't know what surrender means. So the man got angry and he started to argue with Prabhupada, be rude to Prabhupada. And then he became very heated, you know. And Prabhupada said to him, you don't want a guru, you want a Sanskrit teacher. So then, you know, then he got kicked out of the room by Prabhupada's followers. So, you know, he came with the wrong mood. But the correct mood should be in that order that Krishna gives. Oh, thank you. Because imagine, like, you know, someone, imagine going for a job interview and, like, you got to come across with good characteristics. You can't come across arrogant and say, I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Now you can say, you know, I'm willing to work hard. These are my qualifications. I'm willing to accept the conditions of the job. You impress the person's character. And by that, the person's attracted to you. Yes, Srinivas, do you have your hand up? Oh, if we had your hand up. Oh, Prayojan Prabhu.
Yeah. There's also another saying. It's the sage, I think it's Bhagavad Gita, the great sage, by dint of experience, he learns and submits by the dint of experience, of having experienced happiness and distress. He's learned from this happiness and distress that he can inquire submissively and accept the things that come according to what happens in the, you know, you could call it divine providence.
Yes.
And this is a sort of submission and not fight it, because then it's a lot of pain. It's a lot of pain. You can't. So that's. Sort of from the Bhagavad Gita, the theme of the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. Srinivas Prabhu.
I know another word you said.
Sure.
So you said, Prabhupada said, surrender. You can only ask questions when you surrender to Krishna, right? Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he gives a. Someone asked him a question, what does humility mean?
Yeah.
And he explained that humility means you have to surrender to the Mahajans. But that doesn't mean we should surrender to the demons. If someone surrenders to the demons, then they're all violating the etiquette what the Mahajans are teaching.
Yes.
And ultimately, we have to be like Hanuman, how he served Ram by rescuing Sita.
Mm. Yes.
He's got a question here.
Very good. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I've got a question for you. You mentioned earlier that to get to Krishna, you need to go through your spiritual master in terms of learning, I guess. Someone like myself, forgive my ignorance. First of all, how do you find a right spiritual master in this world right now when there's so many of them, possibly, I guess? You obviously know that you go online, you can pick one. Yeah, I know. How do you know, one, how to find one, and two, that you found the right one, and three, that you can connect to that guru itself, because you've got to be connected with that person, whoever that guru spiritual master might be in your case. How do you find this?
Well, first thing is to know who a qualified spiritual master is, you have to educate yourself. You need to know the qualifications of a spiritual master, otherwise you can be cheated, right? If you don't know what gold is, anyone can sell you something fake. So that onus is on you. Second thing is, our process is very mystical, it's very transcendental, but very practical. As you practice, you have to know, you have to study the truth. And as you practice Krishna consciousness, Krishna, as you become more sincere, you will have this Paramatma within the heart will inspire you to search out the need for a spiritual master. And you will find that person. And it will be a very mystical thing, you know. This question every devotee asks. And then that person will be that person who inspires you the most, who you receive the most siksha from, and you can verify what he's saying with scripture, because you also have to check him out. And then you approach him, and then you start to serve him, and he will check you out. He will say, are you really serious? And as you're both checking each other out, you're both getting clarification that yes, this is the right person, you know. And then the spiritual master will accept you. He doesn't have to accept you, but you have to qualify yourself. But at the beginning, it starts with you knowing what a spiritual master is. You know, because sometimes, in India it's very easy, there's many gurus, some people think spiritual master is someone who has siddhis, or someone who can take away their material problems. But that's not what Bhagavad Gita is about. Bhagavad Gita is about someone who gives you divya gyan, who teaches you to surrender to Krishna. And that's exemplified by Srila Prabhupada, who teaches that. So you have to educate yourself and practice Krishna consciousness sincerely. And as you become more sincere and advanced, you will naturally, Krishna will arrange that situation for you to come in contact with a spiritual master. But you, at every step of the way, you have to be, you have to study, you have to understand, you have to inquire from devotees, your well-wishers. And it's not just spiritual master, actually. The spiritual master doesn't mean one. You've got your Diksha Guru, but there's many spiritual masters. There's Siksha Gurus. So you've got devotees who brought you into Krishna consciousness. You've got devotees who you learn Shastra from, who teach you how to do service. They're also your Siksha Gurus. So we are always surrounded by Siksha Gurus. It's not just spiritual master. Because you may not be able to speak to a spiritual master. He may not be able to personally train you. But, like it was in previous Vedic times. But you will find that it will happen automatically. But the key thing is for you to be sincere and make that effort. Does that answer your question?
Thank you, very good. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Yes.
There was a book that is a breakdown of the activities of a spiritual master and disciple. It's called The Spiritual Master and Disciple. And I was advised to read that book, and it tells you all you need to know.
Yes.
In great detail.
Yes.
In certain circumstances, where they serve each other, how they are with each other, the etiquette, all these things. It's a wonderful book. So if anybody wants to learn what a spiritual master is about, it's a bit, you have to do a bit of reading.
Yes, 100%.
You know, so it's a wonderful book. If you can get hold of it, it's great.
Yeah. Anyone else wants to ask a question? Oh, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for such an incredible, amazing presentation. I was trying to follow my base with such an amount of more of knowledge delivered.
Oh, Speak slowly the next time.
but thank you so much for such a nice presentation. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else? Anyone want to? Okay, we'll finish here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam.